Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
We're a nation famed for our theatre scene, and with an abundance of world-renowned authors, playwrights and actors to call our very own. But it's a competitive space out there, and with rising costs and entertainment increasingly available at our fingertips, just how are our theatres faring in 2024? I'm delighted to be joined by Donal Shields. He's the Artistic Director and the CEO of the Civic Theatre out there in Talla. Stephen Falloon also joins us. He's the General Manager of the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre. And all the way over to County Limerick, and Limerick indeed, is Louise Donlan, the Director at the Lime Tree Theatre and also the Bell Table. You're all very welcome to the programme. We might start with you, Louise. Tell us a little bit about the Lime Tree and indeed the Bell Table, if you would.
Sure, Bobby. Well, I guess the Lime Tree Theatre was really is one of the, our most our newest theatres in the country. It was just built in 2012. We opened in 2012. It's on the campus of Mary Immaculate College, 500-seat venue. You know, state of the art. You know, in the sense that it was so recently built. And then we took responsibility for the Bell Table about 2 years later. Bell Table, it's an iconic venue. Anybody in the arts in the country will recognise the Bell Table's name. It was opened in the, I'm going to say, the late 1970s. It was one of the first regional venues in the country outside Dublin. And but through, anyway, it went into liquidation in around 2010, 2011. So the county council bought it. They wanted to retain it as a cultural space. It's a very important cultural space in the city. And then they asked us to program and manage it. And initially we were somewhat, because we were only just setting up our own venue, and you know the way in terms of setting up a brand, you want to make sure that the Lime Tree gets out there and is recognisable. But we kind of saw the sense in it as well, because they're very complementary spaces in terms of seating capacity. You've got 500 seats in the Lime Tree, so it can take the much larger scale touring theatre and opera, whereas the Bell Table, smaller space, 220, it's more for the development and contemporary work.
Okay, so you're
smaller scale work.
You're in the, I suppose, envious position of managing two products, and you basically have a product that suits each of the venues. Is that really how I see it?
That's exactly it.
Okay,
and it's a question of balancing then that to make the whole business work.
All right. Well, stay with us, Louise. I want to bring in Donal Shields, Artistic Director and CEO of the Civic Theatre. Donal, you're very welcome to the programme.
Great to be here, Bobby.
Now, tell us all about your venue. And you're a man who started, I think, am I right in saying, what was your original background and your original job?
Originally, I was a performer way back in the day, hard to believe now. And then I started managing a dance company, John Scott's Irish Modern Dance Company. And from there, I started working at Opera Ireland as company manager. I did about 9 years as company manager with them. And then freelancing amongst different theatre companies like Druid, Second Age. And eventually then my own company, Verdant Productions. And then a year and a half ago, I started with the Civic enjoying that. It's great. Lots of challenges, but really good and really fulfilling.
So remind us about the Civic, if you would, Donal. It's basically on the go for what, 25 odd years?
Yeah, 25th anniversary this year.
Yeah.
It is interesting to look back on where it was then and where it is now, and even I think reflected in the geography of the area and the demographic of the area. I think 70 different nationalities in the area, 50 different dialects. So quite a diverse community, and our audience typically 50% from the immediate area within 3 kilometres, and the other 50% coming from Kildare, Meath, Wicklow, Greater Dublin area.
The fact that you're on, I suppose, the outskirts of the city opens up your market to a wider rural audience.
Yes, yeah. I mean, free parking right outside the door, Lewis right outside the door, M50, so it's very connected and very easy for people to get to, and cafe on site, so you can get dinner and show most days for about €45.
Okay, let's bring in our third guest now. Thanks for waiting patiently. Stephen Falloon, manager of the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre. Stephen, we've spoken to you before, but remind us of the great venue that is the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre and what you do there.
Okay, thanks a million, Bobby. So, Borgosh Energy Theatre, known back then as the Grand Canal Theatre, opened its doors on March the 18th, 2010. I have been there since the very, very beginning. I think the really weird thing when I look back at it and think back to when we opened in the midst of the big Celtic Depression stroke recession. So it seemed kind of crazy to open a... a 2,000-seater theatre in the midst of that. And indeed, when we first opened, you know, because obviously we relied on a lot of shows coming over from the UK, you know, the West End shows. Producers were very reluctant to come over to us because they thought they were seeing the headlines in The Guardian, The Independent, The Telegraph, saying that Ireland was closed for business. Yeah. So they thought there was no way they were going to be able to sell any tickets coming over to Dublin. But over time, you know, we persuaded some of them to come over, and little by little, we gained a reputation because, you know, even in the midst of that depression, recession, Irish people still wanted to be entertained. Irish people still wanted to go out. You know, they just saved their money a little bit more in order to go out and be entertained.
Yeah.
So we quickly gained a reputation, not only for providing the best audiences, but also kind of a very loyal audience that came back time and time again.
Yeah, and in terms of your own route, I suppose, to the Borgosh, Stephen, you started off in the 200-seater Mill Theatre, and then you ended up running 2,000 seats.
Was, yeah.
Tell me a little bit about the difference in, I suppose, the management of both venues.
Okay, so like I was the first manager of the Mill Theatre in lovely Dundrum Town Centre, which opened its doors in May 2006. And, you know, it's a lovely 200-seater with a 50-seater studio and still open today and thriving. And, you know, when we first opened in the Mill, we had no money. We had no funding from the Arts Council, no funding from Dundee, Rathdown County Council. So we were really making it up as we go along, as we went along, because it was very hard to make it meet. So that meant back in those days that I could be working. Not only was I running the venue, but I could be doing the box office. I could be doing the bar. I could even be doing technical, and by God, I was terrible at technical. But that's what I had to do to keep it going. So then, like, literally, they took a Live Nation, gave me an opportunity to run the Grand Canal Theatre, as was then known. And, you know, the thing is, 202,000 seats, you think, oh, God, no, you couldn't. That's just a behemoth. That's mad. But actually, the principles of running a theatre are exactly the same.
Yeah.
Just on a bit of a bigger scale. Instead of filling 200 seats, you're filling 2,000 seats.
It's only multiplication, isn't that it?
It's only multiplication. It's still the same. And you're still, you know, the same principles, technical, box office, marketing, you know, building, maintenance, all of those things that you managed in the Mill, you're managing in the Borgosh Energy Theatre. So it's just on a slightly elevated scale.
Right. Louise, back to you. If you take maybe what works and what, we won't talk about what doesn't work, but when you're deciding what show to stage or what event to consider, what are the things that you basically assess in terms of, I suppose, particularly the commerciality of a particular performance?
There's a lot of things to be borne in mind. We're similarly to Donal there, we are also funded by the Arts Council. So there's we have to strike a balance between making sure that the level of artistic quality is really good, but we also have to watch the bottom line, and we have to also program work that we know will get good audiences in. And then it's also a question of where you put it, whether it's into the Lime Tree or into the Bell Table. I mean, it's a huge mix, because in the nature of, I suppose, unlike in Stephen's in the Borgosh Energy Theatre, we are, you know, based in Dublin, a lot of very different venues. There's not a lot of venues in Limerick, so we are expected to present work that ranges right across from, you know, contemporary jazz right through to the musicals, that particularly community-based musicals that will be on.
Okay.
The touring theatre. You know, so it's pretty much everything, but you have to do it in a balanced way. You can't have too much commercial fare, because then you're squeezing out the opportunities for art, for contemporary artists, where the box office might not be as lucrative, shall we say. You know, they still also need their opportunity, because there's an awful lot of development really in what
sure.
we do. You know,
so,
in terms
so
of
really,
on young artists.
So really, we Louise, then at a high level, what you do is maybe you take on a couple of events that you know will be commercially successful, and maybe you know that you're going to lose money on other ones, and you basically hope it all works out.
Exactly.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Donald, in terms of that?
Yeah.
So I suppose you're putting on a show, the costs are X, I have to sell the tickets for Y, and I need 80%. Are they the kind of equations that you do when you're making an assessment?
It's again, in the same way that the programming can be mixed, the way you look at your audience also can be mixed. What works for us may not work in another area. The type of work that might work with Civic may not work somewhere else. But broadly, a lot of it can be the same in the kind of 70-odd locations around the country. So we have a 300-seat and a 60-seat venue, and we also have quite a large education program.
Right.
So we kind of, you know, it's about 400 events per year that we're actually managing. So,
which is significant.
Yeah. We do get support from the Arts Council. That accounts for about 14% of our turnover. But it's I think the programming has to be reflective of the audience as well. But that is driven by the artists that make it, be they theatre companies. Like next month we have This Is Pop Baby and Pan Pan. But we also have a mix of, you know, we've new music programming coming in, Dublin Orchestra coming to do Peter and the Wolf. We've just had the Irish Chamber Orchestra as well. But there's also a lot of local stakeholders. Like around this time of the year, your local stage schools will be in. They're vitally important. They deserve their place as well. So we've a new program coming up called Musical Mondays, primarily for people who work in music theatre, an opportunity for them to sing and show what they can do, staging musicals, as we all know, quite expensive. But this is just an opportunity for the individual artists, some of whom have appeared in the West End, to show audiences what they can do.
Yeah. Stephen, in terms of your own events, would I be right in saying that if you bring particular acts, maybe from London, from the UK, that there's a viability for other theatres across Ireland that might get a secondary performance or another performance, i.e. if a show is coming here and they're here and the costs of getting here are X, maybe they can do more than one event in another location. Does that happen?
Yeah, I mean, it does happen a little bit. I mean, sometimes, I mean, unfortunately, our stage is the only stage that the shows can sort of perform. It's for the likes of Lion King, Wicked, Hamilton, that need a really big stage and also need a really big auditorium to make the economics work. So we unfortunately are that only theatre. But there's other shows that come with us too, that because indeed it is more expensive now since Brexit to get over here and to accommodate cast and all of that there. So it does make sense for them to go to the Cork Opera House, go to the Grand Opera House in Belfast, maybe down to Limerick. So there's definitely a little bit of that creeping in as well too.
It kind of works in reverse order as well, in that sometimes productions are created at the Arts Centre level and end up. Two in the West End at the moment, for example, standing at the Sky's Edge, Richard Hawley, who was the lead guitarist with Pulp, that started in the theatre in Sheffield, went to the National in London and now playing legitimately on the West End. And another show I saw during the week, Two Strangers Carry a Cake Across New York, that started in the Kiln Theatre, formerly the Tricycle Theatre, 300-seat venue, and now playing in the West End, and more than likely...
That's great. They're really good success stories.
And it kind of shows you the possibilities of the connection between the venues, that, you know, we can initiate new work from artists, and it can go where it can go to.
And we would love, in the Borgosh Energy Theatre, would love nothing more than to see a show sort of... Because one thing that we are very interested in is developing and nurturing Irish talent to appear in our stage. And if that journey starts off in the Civic or at the Lime Tree Theatre in Limerick...
Everybody wins.
Everybody wins. And it's just a glorious and brilliant story for Irish theatre in general.
And Stephen, can I ask you just finally then, when you're considering something like a production of Wicked or The Lion King, the costs must be pretty savage, are they, in terms of making that work? It's a risky enough proposition.
Oh, indeed. Like, you know, when you look at something like The Lion King, Lion King comes over in 23 45-foot trucks.
Wow.
So the actual cost of transporting the physical scenery, sets and costumes is actually quite magnificent. So you do have to be very cognizant, like, when you're working with the producers, because, you know, you have to price tickets. You want to price tickets competitively, but you also want to make theatre accessible. And you want to be able to actually present something that makes sense for both the producer and the customer. And then also, like, you know, we're next month we're bringing in with the Dublin Dance Festival, a dance company, one of the most prestigious dance companies in the world from Taiwan. And they're coming all the way from Taiwan to Dublin for two performances. And again, you know, thankfully the dance festival is subsidized, but trying to work that out with the dance festival and the company to make that affordable to all, to make it, but also to make sense to both the company in Taiwan and the dance festival. So it's always a very delicate balancing act.
Okay. Well, look, it's great to talk to all three of you today. I want to thank my guests, Donald Shields, Artistic Director and CEO of the Civic Theatre in Tara, Stephen Falloon, Managing Director, Manager of the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre, and Louise Donlan, Director at the Lime Tree Theatre, and indeed the Bell Table in Limerick. Thank you all very much for letting us into your artistic and theatrical world. We appreciate it.
Super.
Thanks, Bobby.
Thank you.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.